several years. He's going to tell us today all about MOLE, his tool for an infrastructure for managing information.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's start. First, I want to highlight a little bit about some current things happening in Debian with respect to quality assurance, which you can see on the list here, has a bit of a petition. We have the Lintian Lab, which is continuously checking all the Debian packages and has a store of, for example, desktop files in it, or whichever SA-libs files are inside the packages, which people can actually use. We have a separate system that is extracting the section and priority out of .devs, so that the package tracking system can show whether there's disparity between the list that FTP master provides and that actually .devs have. And for example, both the Debian developer page overview, mostly known as developer.php, and the package tracking system show a list of, well, a bug count for each package. They both actually use a different system. One is written in Perl and then one is written in Python. And well, then we have the packages.debian.org system, which is extracting from all of the .devs the change logs and the copyright files so that you can review them. What this list has in common is that it does something to each package in the archive in a continuous way. Whenever there's an update, this list is needing to be updated. There are several other sort of heavy work being done on packages also. For example, several people are running rebuild testing on the archive. One example is Martin Mikkelmeyer, who next to just doing rebuilds, also did rebuilds with, for example, a newer GCC version, at that moment 4.1, to see how the archive was actually building with this new version. And another one is, for example, Lucas Nussbaum. I hope I pronounced the name correctly.
He's around, but he was at the Debian.
And well, several others. A different heavy-duty process being done on all the packages is a few parts, which is installability testing, started and written by Lars Vizenius, currently being picked up by a team because of lack of time of him. What these heavy-duty systems have in common is that it's not really easy to find out about what were actually the results of these tests. Did my package, for example, suppose I maintain a package and I want to look in the last rebuild field, how did view parts do? You need to look quite hard. And in some cases, you will only find some public underscore HTML directory which simply has all the build logs dumped into it. This is not entirely easy to view. Well, this is one of the things that MOLE could help to improve a bit. It's currently hosted on Merkle, better known because it serves at ua.debian.org. It is having its description on the wiki, wiki.debian.org/mole, which isn't anywhere near as elaborate as what I'm going to talk about now. So after this talk, I'm going to need to update it. And well, basically, the MOLE is an arbitrary amount of tables. It's a database, in very simple words. An example which is currently found in MOLE, you have the database packages unstable of the Debian archive, which has for each source package name a list of binary packages which are in it with version number and which actually .dev is referring to it. I wanted to show that to you interactively, except that we don't have any network here.
We do.
We do.
At
Excellent.
Yes, not on this computer. Sorry. So.
On the sound has network cable, we can connect.
Never mind, because I prepared for this and made transcript anyway. So this is nearly interactive. Okay, so this is the MOL Interactive front-end, which is basically just Python with one startup file with imports, a couple of things, and changing the prompts so it looks cool, but that's just outside. Basically, you can open a MOL database by mol.get. I open here the Debian Unstable database for reading. I can see that there are currently 11,000 something packages in Unstable, and I can actually print what is inside the database for the key Lilo, and you will see that for this source version you have this binary package on architecture on with this other version, and the x3.dev is stored on the Debian archive in bool main something. And you can see a couple of other entries. These are all the binary packages in Unstable for MOL for Lilo. Okay, now, well, because to save me some typing, which I'm not doing anyway, so I have stored this string in a variable, and I open the Lintian database for a reasonably old Lintian version because it's not currently up to date. You can see here that there are actually nearly 500,000 of entries here. That means for 500,000 dot devs and source packages, we have Lintian results. I'm also opening here a different database, the MD5 database. Now I'm going to print the Lintian database for the key Debian pool blah 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 Lilo. And I can see what the result was of Lintian when it was run inside MOL. This can be used, for example, on lintian.debian.org once it's actually finished migrating to this system, which isn't at the moment yet. Let's see where my prompt is again. It's very interactive. Okay. Well, here I can show you a different application. The MD5Sums database is run by having MD5Sum run. You extract the .dev, gets extracted. MD5Sum run over all the files, and it's stored in the database. So for every and each package, we now have a database with MD5Sums of each file. There was some discussion on some Debian lists some time ago. I couldn't find the reference when I was looking for it. But the discussion was, wouldn't it be nice if there was a view on Debian.org systems that I can see which MD5Sum a certain file is supposed to be. Well, this is it. And you can, for example, download this and verify your disk on corruptions in case you do not have MD5Sums available via the existing system within Dev Helper. Of course, we have with Dev Helper already MD5Sums in the .devs, but well, you can also do this for SHA1, for example, and we do not have that yet. And this covers all the packages. Okay, so far I'm logging out of MOL in this interactive session and go back to my presentation, which was this one. No, not. Okay. Database accessibility. As you've seen, it is written in Python. It was nice excuse for me to practice a bit more in writing it. But also, well, let's not go into language more anyway. The open reading databases are open for reading without any locking. You open the database, you can do it as any user. It is an on-disk database. Currently, most of them are SpeakyCat databases. So you have concurrent access easily available. If you open a database for writing, because, well, you need to update it anyway, not the, the database that you're also using for reading is used, but it's a stretch copy on which you can do updates. Of course, during this, the whole stretch copy is locked. It doesn't influence the reading at all, of course. You do your updates whenever you're finished, the database is closed and copied to the same directory where the reading databases aren't atomically renamed over the old one. This way we ensure basically a transaction integrity. If you open a database to do some reading of it, you either get an old version or a new version, but never some corruption or whatever. Except that it's still sleepy cat, so well. database accessibility. You can also access database in different ways than the interactive way. And you can easily replicate it because it's all on disk in files and not in a database management system. You can use rsync. I'm planning to ask DSA to also set up anonymous rsync. To have the database at some other host available. The mol scripts, which are Python, can simply access them on your host too. They are not bound to Merkle. And the databases are mostly async friendly. Whenever there are very large values in it, they are sort of separate files, such that only new files and changes are copied, and the ones that don't change don't get copied anymore. Well, it uses B-trees by using sleepercat, so you have very efficient microqueries, no search involved, and well, of course, you can iterate over the full database. Well, as said, the interface is in Python. It doesn't mean to say that you cannot access in different languages. It's just that, well, you need to write the code yourself. And whenever there's a new database format introduced, you need to update the code. So it's not really something I would advise people to do. Maybe you can provide some wrapper in some way or so, but anyway. Well, I've already mentioned it. Of course, this is mainly developer type access, also users and, for example, packagers. I mean, developers and people who really want to do develop different interfaces to MOL. Also, packagers want to access the entries with a MOL, for example, browsing whether the package rebuilt successfully last time. For that, you have a web interface, which is, of course, CGI bin with Python. As you've seen in my interactive session, we have command line access, and you can, of course, write your own Python scripts around it, if you want to. Okay, well, we wouldn't be able to access this data if the data wouldn't be there, so we need a way to actually add the data. Currently, that's being done by using a rules writable incoming directory. And you can place your updates. It can either be a batch or simply one key value pair into this directory. The user ID of the file is also stored in some log file so that you can actually see who added some data. This UID can also be used for authentication and seeing whether someone is actually allowed to a certain to update a certain database. Currently not really implemented. The incoming directory is written securely anyway, so the only thing you can do is ruin the contents of the database. There's nothing weird being done with the actual data itself. The incoming directory is a very limiting way to do it. Currently, for example, the Lintian results, Lintian which is run on Gluck, are being submitted by an SSH tunnel with rsync and to the incoming directory. But it is easy to add different submit methods, for example, HTTP POST, by simply having some simple PHP script writing an incoming file based on whatever is submitted via it. You can write an email bot that is going to put a file into it. Well, on top of this, you can basically do anything anyway. There are generally basically three types of databases within MOL. Maybe some more will be added later, but for all the use cases I've been able to come up with yet, we have basically three of them. The first one is the store once. Means for each key, you store the data at some moment, and then you're done. The data won't actually change anything, which is most common with, for example, a changelog. If you have a key atop that file, and at some moment you have found out the changelog, you put it in it, and well, the same .dev will not actually change which changelog is in it. And LintGen is also supposed a specific LintGen version, hence that the LintGen database was named LintGen-1.version. Is supposed to be constant over time and not dependent on the context in which the package is. It's not dependent on which other packages are installed. Then you have transient data, which are, for example, the rebuilds that you do. If a package builds today, it might not build tomorrow because someone uploaded some libc6 which dropped some symbols or some less severe change. This data is for the same key of multiple versions, so the database needs to actually store the older versions or not, or at least it needs to be able to update them, which is configurable. For example, also dependency checks whether a package can fulfill its dependencies or pure parts is all changing over time. And as a third type, you have could come up with a better time to edit the data. For example, if people write reviews, submit screenshots, or, well, can't come up with a different example for the moment. Whenever something is submitted, you want to actually add this to this key and not overwrite a previous version, because it's still just as relevant as the new added value. Okay, so adding data is possible, but you need to coordinate this a bit. The reason for this is, of course, that if you have multiple workers which want to run LintGen over the archive and each starts with an A, well, you get a lot of wasted resources. Most of the resources to obtain are actually also expensive to do. They rebuild testing can take a lot of time, or extraction, or basically most of them. For this, there is a separate to-do database for each table, if that is relevant. This to-do database has a list of all the keys that are expected to be at some point available in the database, and of course it can check which keys already have a value. The difference of that is, of course, the to-do. Any worker can use HTTP on some systems to ask which tests to actually do next. By doing that, you will actually reserve them. It will be a notation that this worker is going to work on this with a time. Authentication, of course, is possible. An important thing with this is it is an optional way to coordinate updating of your database with this inside MOL coordination. Some systems, for example, QPARTS at the moment, have their own coordination, rebuild the, well, it might be possible that you have much better ways to coordinate it, and then you should definitely use them and not feel obligated to actually use this. Well, let's talk a little bit more about whenever someone reserves Vinny, yeah, then it will of course time out after a certain moment, and the database key will be come available again, and it will be shown to a new worker again. So basically the requeuing mechanism is available automatically without any human interaction. Of course the workers need to actually implement this. For this there's this 150 lines shell script, mole CD, mole client daemon, alternative name is maybe also at some point possible. Anyway, what it does is it pops a number of items from the to-do list and starts working on that. It stores them in a local queue. This is, and it fetches a number of items in advance, so it can get busy continuously, even if the central system is unavailable or whatever. Then the worker will continue working on it. Whenever there were some to-do items and there isn't a worker running yet, the MoleCD will launch one. Actually, MoleCD is not a daemon because then you need to ensure it keeps running, but it's a cron job which you can run. And the cron job checks the to-do items and it will launch the worker if it's needed. So, because cron is always available, you don't need to ensure the daemon is running, and also there's no resources being used at the moment, there's nothing to do. The worker will also have a timeout on the actual test being run. For example, at the moment, Lintian will go into some either infinite loop or extremely long time checking a lot of mem pages from, I think, Atlas it is, which for some reason is several thousand of mem pages, don't ask me why. And we can't actually really wait on that, and it will interrupt all the rest of the data, all the rest, Lintian check from the rest. It will not submit any results then, and because the central mole system will notice that something hasn't been returned. This way, it is done in the central system, because then also if the worker really crashes and can't signal anything, then the same thing will happen. It's something where you requeue. The requeuing will happen at an incrementally decreasing interval. Because sometimes it is a specific package that will never return a result and crash or whatever, and then it doesn't make much sense to actually repeatedly every 6 hours test that. At some moment it will fall back to every 7 days or something, just check it whether it's maybe now fixed. So far the coordination. Is an open interpreter structure. The databases that are there can easily be added. They require just a few lines of currently code editor Python file, but that should be migrated to a configuration file, of course. It might be possible to have any Debian developer create the databases. I don't think it will end up that way because there's some namespace problems there, but maybe there could be like in Subversion, because we have a people subtree where anyone can really add databases without any asking it from someone, and anyone can be authorized to submit data. Because of this, I hope this system can be used by anyone having just this random idea of doing some automated tests without actually needing to implement basically infrastructure mode provides, cycling over packages, dealing with tests that go haywire, make sure that when archive is updated, just those packages that are new are checked, that results that are no longer relevant because the package disappeared are getting purged. And all this coordination you don't need to write it, you can just write a simple script that actually does the real interesting thing to your Debian package and outputs the data somewhere and plug it in and check back a couple of days later and find out what the results are, and that also Debian developers or any package or anyone who is interested can go to the QA website and view the results of that for their packages in a nice overview, maybe groups per maintainer, etc., etc. So basically, you can get a whole lot of things for free. Because there will be one central location where you can find a lot of this information, you get also more exposure of whatever test you're currently running. For example, coming back to the rebuild testing that is being done by a couple of people, I actually would need to think very hard where I could find the results, how I can check that, and who was doing what, and Googling a bit to find the results. The simplicity of the database type, database tables, is making it easy to use and can still become very powerful because you can easily stack the databases together. The values of one of the databases can become the key of the other, so that you can get a chain of processing with certain data. For example, to come back to the LinkedIn, there is one small job that is processing the packages file from the archive and produces a list of source package to which binary packages there are, or simply a list of each source package and which versions they are at, etc. Those are stored in package-star databases. The results of this database are, amongst others, the .dev files that are in the archive, that are currently in unstable, for example, or that are currently in unstable and in testing. And this list is being used as a source for LinkedIn, for the LinkedIn thing that is going to run. LinkedIn doesn't run on a whole source package along with all the binary packages. LinkedIn really runs on one single .dev or one single source package. So that's why it requires this input. And it's also true, of course, for example, installability testing and cue cards. It requires one single dev file. Okay, this was a pretty simple stacking example. You can get it a little bit further. So of course, when you're dealing with package data, you will most of the time start off with the packages databases and use that as key again for whatever you're checking. It's imaginable to have a database that has for each given package and version the build log that was actually used to produce this certain .dev. We have buildy.debian.org, which lists all the build logs of anything built on the buildy network, but it's not very easy to really only have the build log of the current version that is currently in unstable or currently in testing. By creating such a database, which of course gets its input from buildy.debian.org, but maybe also in the future can get build logs by maintainers, which actually did their source full uploads, because those build logs are currently not available anywhere at all, and store them in a database. And the values of that are then the build logs, and you can have a checker program written. There are several things that are, if I understood correctly, but I actually don't really know, I heard about it. The buildy administrators use some scripts to look for weird things in build logs that signal something. Something bad has happened, and you can actually write them yourselves. Suppose you have such a LinkedIn type thing on the building log that signals potential problems. You can run it over all the build logs, store the results of this check in the next database, Then you have a database with all the potential problems within various builds. And because submissions do not need to be able to be done by a computer worker, but also could be done by a human, you can have the human that is actually going by all these results and determining for each of them whether, well, it's this trigger, this linear line check on the build log, but actually it's not a problem, it's a false positive, and reports that, then it disappears from the list. Or alternatively, sees, hey, this is something fishy going on, the build looks failed, or is showing some real problem in the source package, and file a bug about it, and then can store in this database that the bug has been filed with this and this bug number. Basically, this is one way to coordinate filing bugs based on automated test outputs. I took this example, but there are, for example, QParts is one of the more known ones that are getting regularly bugs filed because of the results. And of course, the rebuild is testing people submit really critical bugs whenever a build really fails at this moment. And also those could be coordinated with such an extra database. Such that in the web interface model, you can also, next to seeing that something is failed, you can see that a human has verified that it wasn't a problem with the, for example, the rebuild computer, could happen of course, and which bug was filed in response to that. So far, all the examples have been about package-oriented data. This isn't a requirement. Remember that MOL is just a set of tables. That's it. And the packages-star files are lists of packages, but they are not core to MOL at all. One example that you could do is for each bug number extract for each of the messages in it what the prompt line was, so that for a bug you can see whether it was the maintainer of someone, a member of the maintainer team that last commented on the bug, or whether it was someone else. If you store this automatically determine whether it was a maintainer or not, you can have a view on the bug tracking system or some different interface to it, which can show next to each bug whether, oh, I already replied to it and there hasn't been any follow-up yet, or someone else has been followed up since and maybe I should give an answer to this or make sure what the current status is. Completely different application could be mirror checking. The input could be the list of mirrors, the list of mirrors for each mirror. This would be then a transient database because the status of mirrors will change over time. You can check the availability of it, does it still work? You can check the freshness of it, are the packages files up to date? The completeness of it, does it actually have all the architectures in it, or is it only showing you i386 and AMD64, for example? Some common things that are happening. And store those in a transient database type. Because of this log, and you can show nice interfaces on the mirror status. This is an example of various things that can be done. I do realize that there are currently already mirror checking scripts available, so whether it will be useful to really implement this is to be seen, but the MOL is able to also do this kind of things. And of course you can make overviews maintainer wise, which package does a maintainer have, which you can use for the developer.php pages then, or use for example, grouping Lintian output by maintainer. This code mostly exists, but there's a lot of duplication going on within various tools. And by unifying this a bit, There will be less bugs overall. Sometimes you will notice that developer of PHP shows a slightly different list than the bug tracking system, and shows a slightly different list than whatever is happening on the PTS. And if you provide one very accessible source of information, of this kind of basic information, all the tools will use the same, they'll have the same results, and you have just one set of things to fix if there's a bug in it. Well, can you actually use MOL right now? Well, that's a very interesting question. Well, yes, it is being used right now. It runs on a dozen of databases. For example, LinkedIn is being used. There's a preliminary web interface in which you can actually view the LinkedIn output of it. A different project that's being run, for example, by on the request of Enrico Zini, who wanted to make some installer where which you have icons and package names, program names that are available inside the Debian archive. You click on them, and then the package that comes onto it will be downloaded and installed. As a source for this tool, which I forgot the name, you need to have all the .desktop files that are in the archive. It is a very time-consuming task to actually extract those, but by using MOL, with like 10 minutes of work, I created a new database which has desktop files in it of all the .devs. Of course, it then took a week for it to complete, but well, that you will have anyway. In this database you have all the desktop files in the archive, and the program that Enrico wrote or helps written is using it right now. Well, no, because nobody knows MOL yet, but well, I think that it's going to change a bit with this talk. I'm going to update documentation. And I'm really hoping that people will get interested by the possibilities that they show, and will offer a helping hand in improving the current infrastructure, the current MOL, and finishing it. Well, software's never finished, but actually. To go a little bit more elaborate into the implementation status, I was not entirely complete in saying what MOL could do, because it doesn't actually do everything that I talked about. The stacking, for example, is not really done very nicely currently. It has some specific code in MOL itself, except instead of having the separate programs outside of MOL implementing the stacking. Why is it important? It's important because then it is really a generic interface, and anyone who wants to add a new database doesn't need to actually change MOL itself, but can completely implement the stacking outside of it, which is of course a requisite if people can really just use this infrastructure. There's no authorization yet. Of course, authentication is provided because everything that changes requires local access, and you can see the UID on files you create in the incoming directory. But nothing is, there are no access control lists yet that reject certain updates, because well, you're not one of the authorized people to provide updates for this in this database. Not really a big problem yet, because well, we can find you anyway if you don't use it. But well, it would be nice to actually have authorization, especially when some of the databases are going to be a little bit more sensitive in what damage they could do if they would get weird results. And for example, if you have a web submit thing, then that writes files to incoming directory, then it's actually coming requisites to have some kind of authentication. The web interface, that is the major pain in implementing mold at the moment, because it requires some work to really build a nice web interface and make it look nice. There is currently a web interface, but it is kind of proof of concept. You can only enter a source package name and you can get a dump of all the LinkedIn results of it. Basically, you can get whatever I showed in the interactive session, but it's simply hard-coded in this web interface. And that's it. You can get a Python backtrace whenever the source package name doesn't exist, etc. Which is not an entirely good way to return results. And documentation, it isn't very much documented yet. This provides some higher level overview of what is possible, but of course you need to know how to actually program, how to actually add a test to it, what the requirements are. This isn't documented yet, except by, of course, looking at the source. Another thing that is not working yet is a transient data type, which is the major reason that the rebuild testing isn't yet in MOL, because well, I couldn't really add it yet, as long as you cannot really update the build log as soon as the rebuild a week later actually did succeed or did fail. So that's also needing something to work. For all these items, contributions are of course welcome. I don't actually have it written down on the slide, but the source code is in the repository of QA. You can find it on svn.debian.org/QA in the subdirectory mol. Well, software is some trunk also, but well, people knowing Subversion know about it. Mol itself is on Merkle in org.qa.debian.org/mol. So people who are interested can take a look there. Besides the examples I've named, there is many more possibilities. I don't know whether, for example, maybe someone from the public has some idea about what is what would be a nice thing and a nice opportunity for MOL to actually do. Well, I'm very interested in hearing some suggestions about it.
Is this something you think that can be used as a
This can be used for basically everything. The packages, as I already said, it is not packages specific, you can also use them differently. But yeah, the code is not that specific at all.
Right.
You can use it for any purpose whatsoever. And yeah, I think it would make sense to, once this is in a releasable state, to make a Debian package out of it so that people can set up this type of infrastructure also for different projects than just the Debian QA one. Well, it's hosted on Debian QA mostly because of laziness, and well, that was the one I had easy access to add it, and a lot of things are related to QA. But as you have seen, quite some examples are not directly related to QA, but other Debian type of efforts.
I can reuse for holding for just ordinary databases and a whole range of other kinds. There's nothing particularly package specific about the kind of data that they can handle. They can handle the same thing.
I was wondering about the cost of a database search, for instance, the LinkedIn database. How fast is it to look into this 500,000 lines of data?
If you want to do a query on one specific package and want to know what LinkedIn gave for that, that is like a couple of milliseconds. It is a B3 lookup, but
what I have in mind is for instance, I have a missing warning or error in my package,
Yeah.
And I want to know which packages used to have this warning and how they fixed it, for instance.
So you want, basically you need two things, then. You need to have historic data about what LinkedIn error was there before, which is possible if adding a transient database which has LinkedIn with as key only the package name and not actually the version, so that you can actually really have the history. Currently, this would be a bit tricky to do, and I don't see any other than, of course, linear search. I think you can always browse through all results and find whatever you need to find anyway. But yeah, I think you would need to. Yeah, that is not not really a reliable thing to do. Well, I think there might be some way to implement this kind of things, that like you want to know when a certain thing changed, so you want to have differences in transient data. If you could store the differences.
Does it keep a history of all linear warnings for each version of the packages?
No, it doesn't. It only has a database of the current Lintian version.
One
but it could be added.
One for several.
No, the Lintian, what it has the results for each package version architecture triple. So if you know this version, then it's a Lintian result. If a package is in unstable testing in the same version, then you have simply one database key. You can.
Are you removing all the entries?
Yes. Whenever a key is no longer referenced, here you have the packages has for unstable has the file name debian/pool/blah blah blah with a version number in it. That is used as key in the Lintian database. Whenever that key is being dropped because it doesn't appear anymore in packages.-debian-unstable. But of course you could add a transient database type if you actually want to store results. Because yeah, indeed Lintian is in that way also transient. So that's possible. I'll only to actually search quickly for when something disappears. Well, if it's just one package, you can really, from that package, see the full history of what was the result then, what was the result then. It's, of course, fast enough. So for that, if you do it archive-wide, you can, of course, program a little script that actually finds out when this did this one appear and then disappear, and run add that as a new Lintian, as a new mole database, run it over all the keys, and then you're done. So you can use mole itself to give yourself an answer to that question. Of course, only works as long as the Lintian results haven't disappeared yet. But if you have stored it, you can that way easily find it. So yeah, it is possible if you take care of implementing it. And once this transient Lintian database would have been available, then it would be pretty easy to actually write this search over the whole database. It shouldn't require you more than 20 minutes or something. And of course the runtime. Then, is it a follow-up to?
I have another question.
Okay, well.
Why is this a relational database?
Two reasons. The reproducibility of the data, of getting it off the host, accessibility, is much higher if you have it on files. You can rsync the whole database to a different host and do things with it. Updates are atomic, of course. Yeah, you have, but it's much more difficult to set up. You actually require to run. You're required to run the database yourself. You need to have replication, you need to configure it in your database management system. I'm not sure whether you can actually enable something to be replicatable to anything.
keeps SQLite.
It would make queries
offline. SQLite is definitely a possibility to use here. As I mentioned, mostly it is sleepy cat, but there's nothing stopping anyone from having a database type that is SQLite based.
Is the data any relational?
It's
yes.
Not.
And it's a word size dependent as well. So if you try to take that database off Mercal, I suspect it won't work on a 32-bit machine.
I think SleepyCat has stored some
word
size.
Maybe
they've
changed it, but we certainly ran into that problem when we changed ftp.org to 64-bit. All the BDB files broke.
Mm. Okay, well that's definitely something to consider then. But relational, yeah, it is at the moment, the core of MOL is this key value pairs, which
are
not in that way. Because of stacking, you have this relation in this. Well, does that sufficiently answer your question? Or?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yes. Do you have a way to
take advantage of the dot changes file as well? For instance, to know whether a build daemon was responsible for breaking something in a build or?
Yeah, you can. You can add anything. You can also add a changes file. I'm not entirely. The changes file are currently available because the PTS is storing them for thoughtful uploads. I think you can subscribe somewhere to actually get all the uploads, including also the binary uploads. Actually, changes files are available somewhere in the FTP master tree. You have a DOM directory which is not indexed by a source package, so this could be used and stored into this database. There's just the question of currently it's not publicly available, all the changes files. I think the reason for that is because of replay problems. For example, if a package gets removed, then you can use the same changes file to re-upload something even though you're unauthenticated. I'm not entirely sure whether that would be a prohibitive thing to make changes file publicly available, but I don't know, it would be discussion. But technically, it's no problem. More suggestions, maybe? Well, let's talk a little bit, I think I ran out of time anyway. Let's talk a little bit about the adding data. As I said, the data you can use a coordinate, the MOL client daemon that is automatically finding out which keys need updates. It doesn't need to be a computer. You can also have a human supply data. One application would be having reviews of packages and screenshots of packages available. If you provide some interface where users of the package can review it, give a score, submit a screenshot, you can add it into MOL database. That is the update query. It isn't computer supplied, but a different way of actually using this database. Okay. Are there any more questions, suggestions, more information? Well, then I would like to thank you all for listening, and whenever there's something you want to add later, you can always contact the Debian QA list or myself. Thank you.